This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Free Talk Live, you dial toll free, take control of the airwaves, bring up whatever is on your mind as we launch into the third hour of the program. We're in the middle of a healthcare-related conversation, talking about why the prices are so expensive. You can't just blame the insurance companies and the hospitals. The government also is a huge role and a huge part of all this, and ultimately they all kind of work together to ensure, well, more profits for themselves at the cost of all of us who end up having to pay the bill, unnecessarily high bills that would be much lower if there was actually an open free market in healthcare. Just like with every other industry where the government hasn't gotten their tendrils into everything, like the computer hardware business, where, you know, it's always the go-to example because for the most part, government doesn't know how to regulate that. That's a world that is, you know, moves way too fast for government. And so there really aren't any government approval agencies over computer programming and computer hardware design. And so we get all kinds of wonderful advancements, costs going down over time, where, you know, when you spend $1,000 on a computer today, you compare that to a computer you spent $1,000 on a decade ago, and it's going to probably best it in every single category by a factor of, you know, 12 or something like that, maybe even more. You go back to a $1,000 computer 20 years ago, and, you know, it's going to be nothing in comparison. Healthcare is not that way. It's kind of at a stasis almost with barely any real incentive to develop, any real incentive to innovate, bring costs down. No, there's virtually no competition because it's limited by the state. Let's go back to your calls and thoughts, though. I know, Johnson, you had more from the New York Times on the subject, and but right now we got Mortified Penguin. He's on Skype. Go ahead.
Yep, Mortified Penguin, certified disco term, giving you a call. I wanted to actually turn the clock back to the discussion about Uber.
Yeah, and, sure. So right now in Madrid and Barcelona and other cities in Spain, the taxi drivers are protesting Uber by just basically sitting in the streets all day, all night. They've set up tents, they're camping out, and they're throwing rocks at Uber drivers if they happen to be around. So that's what's going on there. What about your comments? Go ahead.
Well, like I said before, I am an Uber driver. I drive Uber part-time.
Okay.
I haven't signed up for any of the other ride-sharing services, and I love it, and I'll be doing it tonight. And I've been meaning to call and thank you just how great it was, that show you did around the beginning of Forkfest, or right before, where you had one of your former co-hosts that was an Uber driver full-time.
You're talking about TSA George, who's now Uber George?
Yeah, that was a cool show. He talked a lot about stuff. I picked up a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of good advice. Like, you know, just be professional. I'm the same way. I like to focus on the road and driving. I don't like to talk to people, but I do have some good conversations here and there. And it's a cool thing. But in regards to actually the service, the technology, like, if, just for those that aren't familiar, with Uber, you either use your location, you open the app, you use your location service, or you type in your pickup address.
Are you talking about as a customer or as a driver?
Well, first as a customer, and then you summon the ride. You see your driver's picture, name, and bio.
Yep.
And you see the little car icon go on the map in real time, second by second.
Right, and it shows you their car type, like what the model and the color is, and it shows you their license plate number, so you know exactly which car you're looking for.
Also, it keeps it provides a much higher level of safety. So, for instance, you'll find that there are few female taxi cab drivers, especially at night. However, when it comes to Uber drivers, you can't even use the app until your credit card is entered.
That's true.
So you are identified from the beginning. That means that it doubles the workforce, potential workforce for Uber, because I did do an interview at one point with a female Uber driver down in New Orleans, and she said, yeah, she feels completely safe because, but she wouldn't drive a cab.
Interesting. I've never actually been in an Uber with a female driver, but it's good to know.
Yes, and I've never and just as a man still, I've never really felt the a threat of violence being robbed or anything, because there's no cash involved. It's pure, you know, it's purely with credit cards. Unless I think there is some sort of obscure option, but yeah, it's purely with credit cards. Automatically billed. They don't, and then the writer doesn't have to worry about any shenanigans with the meter, or you know, any, you know, taking a longer route or trying to scam people or bill people in that direction.
And well, in theory, the driver could take a longer route. I mean, there's no way to prevent that from happening unless you know, if you know the route, then you would know if they're taking a longer one. But if you don't know it, then you don't know.
Well, I think you can follow it on your phone, and plus they usually have the app up there on their dash. I mean, it's just, but and there's a record of it.
GPS.
Every ride forever. And it's just great.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do taxis still exist? Like, you call a taxi service, and, you know, you give them, you call, you wait on hold, you give
they're
them.
They're established. I mean, they're coasting, basically. They're trying to stay relevant through using legislation, through using the government to impose taxes and impose regulations. I mean, the story for those just tuning in was in the first hour of the show about how these taxi companies in Madrid and Barcelona are saying, this is not good enough that we can have 5 cabs on the road for every 1 Uber driver. We want it to be 30-1. We don't want Uber to be able to have any more than 1 car for every 30 taxis. So that's how they're doing it.
Ubers with a license, not
correct.
Even like I can. If you have just a smartphone that you have in your pocket, you can be a rider and or a driver.
That's right.
With just a few more documents provided. I don't need a license, special license,
not
to do it.
In most cities, you don't. In the United States, that's correct.
So Uber's relatively recently instituted a tipping option within their
software. The app.
Within their app.
Oh, interesting.
So you can send a tip within the app, and I am basically anti-tipping. I'm of the opinion that you know, companies, organizations, whatever, Uber's going to say, well, they are not our employees, should pay what the market demands for their employees and not expect their customers to kind of make up the difference.
I don't mind tipping.
In a
don't
weird
bother me.
Way. I understand, but I feel, this is how I feel. You tell me the price, and I'd like to pay that. And this is what I'll tell, whoever, the hairstylist or barber or whomever I sit down with is, look, I just want to know what you want. I don't want to play this guessing game as to whether or not I'm a good person.
Are you going to offend the person?
Right. Is $2 sufficient? Or must I give you 20 to get this excellent customer service? Like, I don't even know.
It's hard.
Please just tell me.
There's also a huge difference, though, between when you're paying the employer and the employee. And tipping, you're directly and paying the employee, the person who is actually doing the work for you, whereas if you're paying one single fee, you're paying that to the employer, and then they decide what they pay their employee.
There's two different situations. There's one where tipping, like with a server, and where they're paid, it's kind of expected.
Right.
It's almost a social contract. There's tipping with Uber, as far as I'm concerned, in my experience, that's just an extra that you sometimes get for exceptional service, especially late at night coming home from the bar. Bartenders will tip you great, and of course they'll tip you in cash. That's not expected.
Right. By the way, taxi cab drivers have been tipped for a very long time, and an Uber driver's similar to a taxi cab driver.
Except Uber drivers are told when they sign up to not expect tips.
Right. That much is true. So you've got this, with the taxi cab driver, I always got tipped because the expectation is that you will tip.
Right.
I also tried to do what I considered to be the things that chauffeurs would do. So I
get out, open the door.
Get out, open doors, put luggage in, make sure that
that's how you earn a tip.
Things in the car that make the car pleasant and, you know, that kind of thing, the ride pleasant as best I could.
Uber drivers do that, too. They'll have, like, a bottle of water or bottles of water in the back. They'll have the charging cords
many
for
the
iPhones.
Yeah,
and
many of them do that, and it's great
smart.
Service.
It's
yeah.
smart for them to do that. So how long have you been driving for them, Mortified Penguin?
Since pretty much the very beginning of this year.
Okay, all right.
So I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's pretty cool.
How's your rating? How's your how many stars do you have?
I'm actually vacillating, I guess, between like a 4 point in the low, 4.7s, but I'm finally going back up. You know,
don't they cut you off if you go below like a 4 or something like that?
It's dependent on the region and how people rate in that particular region. Same with a lot of the regulations. It's region dependent, so I think mine's my state, Virginia.
Interesting. Hey, Mortified Penguin, thank you for the call. Thanks for the story.
Oh, my God.
This thing is so annoying. Should we just get rid of Skype at this point? Because I can't turn that off.
Microsoft has really made me angry with this.
All right. More coming up here. And, yes, somebody else is on Skype, as now everyone knows. It's Free Talk Live.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at pirateswithoutborders.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Take control of these airwaves here. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Our toll free number here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. 855-450-3733. And Acapulco is about 6 months away, February 14th through the 19th, 2019, in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico. Mark, you and I were there this year. It was great.
Yeah, awesome event.
Best one yet. It was also sold out. So it's not unreasonable to believe that 2019 will also sell out. Because word gets around. I mean, people talk. Hey, did you have fun at Acapulco? Yeah, it was great. It was Mexico, and it was a lot of fun, and great resort, beautiful location, dozens of great speakers. Ron Paul's coming back in 2019, plus Judge Napolitano, Doug Casey, Larkin Rose, and other speakers to be announced, because it's still pretty early on. The early bird rates expire sometime today, so you may be... I don't know. Maybe it's still up right now. I don't know. I haven't gone to the site. Whether it is or not, you still want to get your tickets, and you can still use code FTL, as I understand it, to get the 15% off whatever the current prices happen to be. So, of course, more great speakers will be announced as we get closer to an Acapulco. Free Talk Live will be there again, so we'll look forward to seeing you as we broadcast from the awesome Acapulco. You definitely want to be there February 14th through the 19th in Acapulco, Mexico. Go to anarchapulco.com. Use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get your discount. That's anarchapulco.com. Code FTL as we continue here. And I'm not joking when I say this is the premier libertarian, voluntarist, anarcho-capitalist event. There is nothing better that I've seen, and it's really a lot of fun.
Right, and I believe that so thoroughly that we aren't taking profit for this. We're not charging for this ad. We just think it's great.
We do costs, basically, to pay our travel costs.
Yeah, they pay our travel costs, and we love being involved in the event.
Anarchapulco.com, code FTL. Let's go to David. He's in New Mexico on Skype. Hello, David.
Yeah, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I wanted to discuss a few more details of that, what I introduced last night, that video of the cop shooting in Minneapolis, because I think it's important and I didn't get discussed.
Okay.
If you want to introduce it.
I have not seen the video yet. You told us about it last night. There was some guy who got shot in the back after openly consuming some sort of alcohol. A cop came up and confronted him. He ran for it, and the cop
saw a concealed weapon or some kind of weapon.
He said, "I'm going to shoot you," as the dude was running away, and then proceeded to kill the man by shooting him in the back. That's my understanding.
Right. Let me rapid fire through the sequence so people can follow it, and then I'll add the details that we didn't get to at the end. So apparently there was a call for, you know, somebody was shooting in the air. Whether or not this dude was doing it or it even happened, who knows? And from the video, there's two cops in their own units, one rolling behind the other, and they're talking to each other on the radio as they roll up, and they're all calm and casual rolling up, and the lead cop says to his partner behind him. On the radio, as they're rolling up, he says, "We're going. This guy has some gin or something like that." So they're the way the cops are talking, they're just rolling up because somebody had called in that they saw a bottle of gin. When they roll up, the dude is sitting on the curb. He's calm as can be. His backpack's off his back, laying on the sidewalk. He's talking to a woman pushing a stroller, and there's like a three-year-old girl there with the woman, and the dude sitting on the sidewalk never sees the cops coming up. The first thing the cops do when they get up on him, they go from calm to excited when the lead cop sees a gun and he says to his partner, "He's got a gun, he's got a gun," and he gets all excited.
Yep.
And then
adrenaline starts pumping.
Right.
And exactly. I don't want to have to retell the story again in as great detail. What you told us last night was the guy got up, he ran, the cops chased him, and they shot him to death. I mean, he never shoot the cop, he never pulled the gun on the cops.
He did say, however, "Don't shoot me, don't shoot me, don't shoot me," so it's possible that the reason he ran was because he believed that the police were going to shoot him because they said, "Gun!
And
gun!
Right.
Gun!"
Yeah.
And I mean, this is part of their training is to just yell "gun," right? And it doesn't mean, you know, that the gun's necessarily in the hand. And being leveled at a government agent, just that it exists, and that's a real hole in their training.
What happens if you're in a big group of cops at a stop and you start yelling "gun" and point at one of the cops?
I don't know. You might get shot.
Yeah.
Look for
the person without the uniform and shoot them.
What's the additional thing you wanted to share that you didn't get to?
Well, where we knocked off yesterday was they're chasing him down the alley after chasing him several blocks. They're chasing him down the alley, and the guy finally puts his the gun is, you know, it looked like it was holstered, but it's probably tucked in his pants, in his waistband, and he's running. And at some point, it's one of two things in my mind. Either he actually does pull it out because he thinks he might need it for self-defense, or at some point, it's going to fall out of your belt, and so he just grabs it so that he can continue to run without the gun falling out.
Okay.
And so now the dude has it in his hand. He doesn't turn and point it at the cop. He's just running with it in his hand, and you don't even see the gun except for when he looks over his shoulder to see how far behind the cop is. The gun becomes visible. The second the gun becomes visible, that's when the cops open fire on him. He never points it at him. It just becomes visible. And as soon as that happens, you see on camera, the lead cop opens fire on him, you know, with like five, six shots.
I know if I were like in a convenience store and there was a robbery and I was armed and I was thinking about preventing the robbery in the convenience store, I would wait until the criminal that was like robbing the store pointed their gun at me before I did anything about it. I know I'd wait until they pointed
it. Yeah, I got to say that this is the reason this guy got shot.
Wait a minute. This guy has been running away from him for several blocks, running away from him,
he's making himself into a threat.
He's in an interaction with a law enforcement officer, and then he draws his weapon. I don't know how else to describe that. That's why they didn't go after him.
Yeah, he's in an interaction with a law enforcement officer, and then he runs, indicating that he's a criminal.
When did the cop say? You said yesterday the cop said he was going to shoot him. Was that before he grabbed the gun or after he grabbed the gun?
Way before, about 20 seconds of sprinting before he gets shot, the cop says to him, "I am going to shoot you." And when a cop says, if someone says, "I am going to shoot you," when you do not have legal grounds to shoot somebody, that is a threat. And at that point, frankly, you should be able to argue self-defense because the cop does not have
the lawful. And I'm not justifying it. And thanks for the call, David. I wouldn't justify the cop shooting the dude, but you know what you said, Mark, is this is at least from the average person's perspective is going to justify the shooting, which is probably why the
police justifies it from the legal legal standpoint, and that's all that matters.
So we have a
monopoly dispute resolution organization, and they're going to see it that way.
If you're coming from the perspective of, well, he said he was going to shoot him, so you should be able to pull out your gun and defend yourself. No. That's just, you could pull out your gun and get into a firefight if that's what you want to do. You're going to die.
That's libertarian fantasies.
So the solution here, obviously, the police are not going to stop being aggressive. Yeah. The police are not going to
stop
shooting innocent people.
There's more of them than there
are of you. Well, actually, there are far fewer police than there are of the rest of us.
No. Of one idiot with a gun who thinks he's going to defend himself.
That's true. So the solution here is, considering the police are not going to become less aggressive, you need to, if you are a gun owner, buy a holster. Right? Because if that was the issue, if the dude was losing the gun and he had to grab it to stop it from falling out of his pants, get a holster, keep the gun in the
holster.
Having
it fall out of his pants was the best thing that would have happened to him.
We're coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
Hey, Dave, you in for golf this weekend?
Oh, I can't. I promised I'd find a plumber to fix a sink and a painter to paint.
Just use Angie's List.
Doesn't that cost money?
Not at all. It's free to find pros in your area who can do the work. You can even read ratings and reviews from other customers.
What about roofing pros?
Angie's List has pros for everything. And to save time, they'll even match you to the best pros for the job.
Oh, that's awesome. Looks like I'll be able to play after all.
Find the best pros for your next project at AngiesList.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Facebook says it's broken up a sophisticated effort to influence U.S. politics less than 10 days before the midterm elections. Chief Operating Officer of Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg.
We removed 32 pages and accounts from Facebook and Instagram because they were involved in coordinated inauthentic behavior.
Officials couldn't pinpoint who exactly was behind the meddling, but the electronic trail seems to lead right to Russia. Public outcry says Facebook needs more security and firewalls. But South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says the United States needs to go on the offensive now.
I will be introducing Thursday a sanctions bill against Russia that has everything but the kitchen sink in it. It'll be the sanctions bill from hell.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention! Sorry, I'm talking a little loud because I want to reach people with a hearing problem. Do you want to hear better for just $299? Yes, not thousands, but for $299. You can hear all the sounds you've been missing for years. Hearing Help Express has been helping people hear better, selling top-quality hearing aids for over 30 years. Now is your best chance to hear better with hearing aids for $299 with our free 45-day home trial offer. And you don't even need to leave your home or get a hearing test. Call now to start your free 45-day risk-free home trial offer. All it takes is a free hearing consultation. Learn how Hearing Help Express can improve the quality of your life with better hearing. Call now.
800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. That's 800-516-7448.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-910-5936. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-910-5936. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-910-5936. 1-800-910-5936.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free and take control of the airwaves here. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, the Skype username lrn.fm. The Discord on air call-in line room for you is discord.lrn.fm. Plus, there is our Twitch channel over at twitch.lrn.fm where you can watch Free Talk Live via our live stream during our live hour, 7 to 10 at night Eastern Time. We are there in HD quality through our Twitch stream. You can also watch us on YouTube, but it's not HD on YouTube, so you probably don't really want to do that. Plus, Twitch also has cool things like the following capability where you can follow our channel and get notices when we go live. That way you remember. I mean, we're always live at the same time every night, but sometimes you're not paying attention. So it's nice to get a little bit of a notice to give you the heads up that you can tune in. Twitch.lrn.fm. Be sure to follow us there as we continue. We, of course, will take your calls and thoughts. But, Johnson, we were talking about the New York Times, and it's a story about hospital costs.
Mm-hmm. Administrative costs of healthcare in general.
And all the insane, you know, paperwork that's basically burdening this system and dramatically increasing personnel costs, which is the largest chunk of any running any business, is paying employees.
So this article goes on to say, it takes only a glance at a hospital bill or the myriad choices you may have for healthcare coverage to get a sense of the bewildering complexity of healthcare financing in the United States. That complexity doesn't just exact a cognitive cost, it also comes with administrative costs that are largely hidden from view, but that we all pay.
Sure.
Because they're not directly related to patient care, we rarely think about administrative costs. They're high.
Yep.
A widely cited study published in the New England Journal of Medicine used data from 1999 to estimate that about 30% of American healthcare expenditures were the result of administration, about twice what it is in Canada. If the figures hold today, they mean that out of the average of about $19,000 that U.S. workers and their employers pay for family coverage each year, $5,700 goes toward administrative costs.
Wow, that's a lot of bureaucracy. And that's interesting that they compare it to Canada, claiming right. that even under a government bureaucracy, there's more administrative costs here than there is under a total government system. That's almost hard to imagine, but it's just,
yeah.
I guess, goes to show how labyrinthine and difficult and confusing the regulations are here in the U.S.
Well, not just the regulations, but it's the insurance companies, too. Insurance companies
and
are only
regulated.
A step better than governments, and in some ways they're probably a step worse.
Mm.
And they are, in and of themselves, voluntary governments. The problem with medicine is that basically, with healthcare in this country, is that the government's taxation rules entrenched the notion that employers should pay for insurance for employees. If that had never happened, then you might have catastrophic care for insurance or something like that, but by and large your day-to-day medical expenses would be something that you could pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have never had the extreme costs that you currently have. Let's not forget the lawyers and the litigiousness driving up the costs of medical care too.
Well, they go on to say, such costs aren't all bad. Some are tied up in things we may want, such as creating a quality improvement program. Others are for things we may dislike, for example, figuring out which of our claims to accept or reject, or sending us bills. Others are just necessary, like processing payments, hiring and managing doctors and other employees, or maintaining information systems. That New England Journal of Medicine study is still the only one on administrative costs
from 1999.
Yeah, that encompasses the entire healthcare system.
But the numbers were from 1999.
Right, exactly. Many other more recent studies examine the important portions of it. However, the story remains the same. Like the overall cost of U.S. health system, its administrative cost alone is number one in the world. Using data from 2010 and 2011, one study published in Health Affairs compared hospital administrative costs in the United States with those in seven other places: Canada, England, Scotland, Wales, France, Germany, and the Netherlands. At just over 25% of total spending on hospital care, or 1.4% of total United States economic output, American hospital administrative costs exceed those of all other places. The Netherlands was a second in hospital administrative costs, almost 20% of hospital spending, and 0.8% of that country's GDP. At the low end were Canada and Scotland, which both spend about 12% of hospital expenditures on administration, or about 0.5% of GDP. Hospitals are not the only source of high administrative spending in the United States. Physician practices also devote a large portion of revenue to administration. By one estimate, for every 10 physicians providing care, almost 7 additional people are engaged in billing-related activities.
Wow.
It is no surprise, then, that a majority of American doctors say that generating bills and collecting payments is a major problem.
Yep.
Canadian practices only spend 27% of what U.S. ones do on dealing with payers like Medicare or
private insurance. That's a big difference.
Yeah. Another study in Health Affairs surveyed physicians and physician practice administrators about billing tasks. It found that doctors spend about 3 hours per week dealing with billing-related matters. For each doctor, a further 19 hours per week are spent by medical support workers, and 36 hours per week of administrators' time is consumed in this way. Added together, this time costs an additional $68,000 per year per physician in 2006. Because these are administrative costs, that's above and beyond the cost associated with direct provision of medical care. In JAMA,
Journal of American Medical Association. Yeah.
Scholars from Harvard and Duke examined the billing-related costs in an academic medical center. Their study essentially followed bills through the system to see how much time different types of medical workers spent in generating and processing them. At the low end, such activities accounted for only 3% of revenue for surgical procedures, perhaps because surgery is itself so expensive. At the high end, 25% of the emergency department visit revenue went toward billing costs. Primary care visits were in the middle, with billing functions accounting for 15% of revenue, or about $100,000 per year per primary care provider. The extraordinary costs we see are not because of administrative slack or because healthcare leaders don't try to economize, said Kevin Shulman, the co-author of the study and a professor of medicine at Duke. The high administrative costs are functions of the system's complexity. Costs related to billing appear to be growing. A literature review.
Well, it's only going to get more complex.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's going to be
more regulations.
Worse.
Well, regulations and rules written by the insurance companies and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I say I really do believe, because you can see the socialized medicine mm-hmm. type countries here have fewer of these Byzantine rules. That's why I tell you that I think the only politically expedient route out of this mess is socialized medicine. I don't
That's
advocate.
A hard thing to say, man.
I don't
That's
advocate for it. I don't support it. But if you continue to let the government break your leg and then accept their yeah. crutch over and over again and say, thank you for the crutch, if you don't realize the same group
then
of people.
Then how do you get out of it? I mean, how do you.
Leave the country. It's your only option.
To go to another country with socialized medicine? How do you get out of socialized medicine?
The rise
medicine?
And the fall of the state has been going on for 9,000 years. Yes, that's the only solution.
All right, so coming up, we're going to do an Edgington Post. Mark, you did a special episode with Stefan Kinsella about intellectual property on your Edgington Post.
That's
show.
Right, to address the disagreement that you and I had a couple of days ago.
And there's good news about that. I'm surprised, but YouTube actually did undo your takedown upon my request. So I don't know if you heard about this, but Mark pulled a Molyneux and did a DMCA takedown request without permission. Hmm. He was completely unauthorized
Ian's
to do that.
Ian's happy because a group of people that are calling him a pedophile now get their video where they're lying.
Yeah, I'm happy that our show, once again, has never taken down a video. We were able to undo the damage that you did.
Permanently
Thank
taken
you.
Down a video.
Yep, has never taken it down.
Permanently.
So we're out of time for the live show tonight. But again, stay tuned for the Edgington Post interview on intellectual property. That is coming up. And if you're on the radio, you'll only hear the first part of the interview. You have to go and get the archive from tonight's show at freetalklive.com to hear the full thing.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! All right, it's another edition of the Edgington Post Show. This is Mark Edge, and I mainly do these interviews for me. The reason I do them is to edify myself, and I figure the listener can really benefit by finding out some of the things I find out. For those of you that were listening to a recent episode, it was the 729 episode where Ian Freeman and I disagreed to some extent on what exactly the libertarian position on intellectual property is. That particular episode got listened to, well, Stefan Kinsella. Are you there, Stefan?
I'm here, Mark.
And you are basically the de facto IP god of libertarianism. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so, for much of your working career, worked as an intellectual property lawyer, at the same time writing sort of libertarian theses against the idea of intellectual property. Correct?
Correct.
Yep. Okay. And to some extent, you travel the internet, whipping into shape people who do not have precisely the proper libertarian position on IP. Is that correct?
Sometimes, primarily for the people that listen, so that people can learn, right? Because I think it's a very, very important issue. It's a neglected issue, and I think it's a very clearly unlibertarian issue once you understand it. In fact, I recently just joined the LP for the first time ever, and one of my goals is I'm going to try to get involved and try to push them to adopt an anti-patent and copyright plank in their platform because they don't have that now. So I think it's one of the most important issues libertarians can be clear on and correct on. And I think it's pretty easy to make progress on that because I've seen a lot of people's eyes open, including my own, over the last 15 or 20 years on this issue.
And this isn't an area that libertarians are necessarily all of accord on. And, things have changed since you began your adventure in doing these things. And apparently your dog agrees. And I just, you contacted me on Facebook, and if Stefan Kinsella wants to come on the Edgington Post and talk about the ideas of intellectual property, by God, he can. So where am I wrong?
Yeah, it was clear that from a communication point of view, you thought you had his permission to do it. I'm a little confused why you thought that, but I think you did, and he wasn't 100% clear. So that was just between you guys, and I think you understand now he doesn't want DMCA takedown notices being issued. And we have to distinguish between what's a moral thing to do, what's a good thing to do, and what is a libertarian policy issue.
Right.
Whether or not it's moral or wise to use the DMCA process to take down YouTube videos, you know, I'm not really any more of an expert on that than anyone. I think it's arguable that it's collaborating with the state or using state laws to censor free speech. You could say that, well, it's YouTube's, it's Google's and YouTube's private policy, and you're just taking advantage of that. But they probably wouldn't have that policy if the DMCA didn't force them to. So I think it's, if you oppose copyright law, then I think it's kind of morally sketchy as a libertarian to use the DMCA process ever. So that's one thing.
Right.
And I wanted to see.
That's what occurred, is that, you know, I had used the YouTube's intellectual property policy to have taken down a video that had been up for some years and that, you know, just annoyed me for a long time.
Right.
And had been used multiple times by people who were attempting to get, you know, get across a message that is the exact opposite of what Free Talk Lives is, that we were saying something other than what we were saying. And I felt like it was a lie, and therefore, yeah, no problem using whatever means there were available to me to get it taken down. That much is true, but to some extent, there's this disagreement that Ian and I had, sort of an underlying disagreement, where I say that intellectual property is an idea that people have, that we believe in intellectual property as a species. I used an example of the, hey, that guy just told my joke. You know, if you happen to have made some clever joke, I mean, my wife sometimes will make a clever joke, I'll use it on the air, and, you know, I mean, like, people want a credit or whatever for their joke. Now, it doesn't work on
right.
live radio to just give a credit forever for every joke you tell. Sometimes a joke just has to land and you have to let people laugh.
Right. And so, you know, you can redefine and use terms however you want, but then you have to be careful, you know, because there's other established meanings of terms. So you're using intellectual property in sort of a loose, broad sense. And then in that case, we would have to say, okay, well, let's take copyright law itself. Do you believe that copyright law or anything similar to it is justified in accordance with libertarian legal principles or voluntarist legal principles, the one that we agree with? And I think, or I thought that in past years, you basically would be on the side of saying that no, when someone makes a copy of something someone else has made public, they don't initiate force or violate the rights of the originator of that idea, and therefore the use of force in response would not be justified, because then that would be aggression. Would you basically agree with that?
I guess what I think of as far as copyright law is that if one is going to use it, they should use it in order to protect themselves from someone using it against them. So, for instance, if I come up with you know, a trademark for Free Talk Live, I should register that trademark in order that somebody doesn't take that same trademark, call their radio program Free Talk Live, and then say, well, see, they're using our trademark. And so from a defensive posture, I understand the use of government IP laws. From an offensive standpoint where, you know, you're chasing people down because somebody used your picture on the internet and now you're going to get them for $50,000, that sounds outrageous to me. The one area, as far as intellectual property goes, that I can see the point of is trademarks. So if another radio program comes out and calls itself Free Talk Live, uses the Free Talk Live trademark, perhaps because it's radio, that's not the best example. Let's say somebody creates a new brown bubbly beverage and calls that beverage Coca-Cola. But instead of tasting like cola, it tastes like orange slice and old shoes put together. Somebody drinks the red can that says Coca-Cola with the very noticeable swoop across it and says, my God, they've done something to the original classic Coke and this is now horrible, and they cease to drink Coke as a result. I can see that point where Coca-Cola would then use trademark law to go after the new purveyors of orange slice and dirty tennis shoes.
Well, you might concede the point that they would use this law, but the question is the law justified? And because the term intellectual property is used in a broad sense here, you're mixing several types of of laws that fall under the term IP
right.
Together.
Patent.
So you're mixing. You're not even getting brought up patent, but of all the types of IP, patent is really the only one where it makes sense to use it defensively. Copyright. You really can't use copyright defensively because someone else cannot get a copyright on something you wrote, even if you don't have a copyright in it yourself. And for trademarks, if you fail to defend your trademark, and fail to enforce it, it could become generic and then everyone else could use it, but it wouldn't prevent you from using it. So you don't really have to enforce a trademark to use it. And as for the fraud aspect, see, fraud, you're kind of implying a fraud on the consumer, but that damages the consumer and they already have a remedy under contract law and under fraud law, but the company that's harmed by having their reputation harmed would not, under libertarian, say, common law principles, have a remedy because you don't have a right to a reputation. And if you do, that's under defamation law, which we also oppose. You see, so you're kind of mixing together like, well, I would want to do it because it would harm me, but, you know, you're harmed if someone competes with you or steals your girlfriend, too. And so causing harm is not sufficient to give a cause of action, right, under the law. It doesn't mean it's aggression. You can cause harm without it being aggression. If I take away some of your business by competing with you, it's harming you, but it doesn't violate your property rights. So, and you gave the example earlier of a defensive use versus an aggressive use, and I guess the question is, which one do you think you did? By using the DMCA to basically threaten YouTube with liability for contributory copyright infringement if they don't take this thing down, because you could sue the copyright violator for that. Do you think that your use was a defensive use or was it an aggressive use?
So when I think about what occurred as far as 3 months ago when I used the DMCA takedown, I didn't consider what would happen afterwards. I wasn't really thinking about what was going to occur
right.
because I knew what was going to happen was that YouTube was going to take the video down, and they did. So my prediction
yeah.
turned out to be so. I suppose
right.
that it is a threat in the sense that I would I could have employed the power of the state. I would have had to, probably gotten a lawyer like you, or not like you, but an IP lawyer to go and chase after somebody, and I wouldn't have done it because it's too much work and not worth the trouble. But from that standpoint, basically, I knew what the results were going to be, so I did it, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to chastise you. I'm just trying to see if you understand. Let me give a brief explanation of how this works and how it arose.
To hear the rest of this great interview, go to archives.freetalklive.com and get the MP3. Look for today's date there and download, or just listen on the web, archives.freetalklive.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.